Six Music.
BBC Radio, Six Music Documentaries.
Welcome to The First Time with me, Matt Everett. This is the series where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and look at the seminal first musical moments that shaped their lives and their careers. And for the final show in this series, I have a guest who can claim to have changed the very sound of popular music. A record producer, songwriter and composer who's regarded, quite rightly, as a pioneer of the synthesizer and a man who stands as one of the architects of disco music. He also recorded, quite possibly, the greatest dance track of all time. My guest on The First Time this week is Giorgio Moroder. Here Giorgio talks through his remarkable career, from his earliest passions, growing up in Italy, through to the start of his career writing bubblegum pop music, and on to the massive 70s success of his collaborations with Donna Summer, which include, of course, I Feel Love and the song you just heard, Love to Love You Baby. Giorgio also looks back on his work with David Bowie and Sparks, his Oscar-winning movie soundtrack work, and more recently, his recordings with Daft Punk on their album Random Access Memories, all with his usual charismatic charm and good humour. But I started asking Giorgio, as I do with all my guests, when he was first aware of music.
I was playing guitar because my brothers would play guitar. And I had a fight with them. They thought they were the geniuses on the guitar. And I said, in 3 months, I'm going to beat you all. So I bought a guitar and went to a boarding school. I bought a little booklet with the chords, right, the barre and all that stuff. And I practiced for 3 months. I came back at Christmas and I played up here, they were still playing here. So they didn't touch a guitar since then, and that's how I started. It was a bet.
What did you play? Can you remember? What was the song?
Well, the song which really I loved was a song called Diana with...
Polanka. Yeah.
I went to the city next to mine, and I went to the shop and I asked, what is that song? It's something like Italiano. No, there is no song like that. So I heard it again on the radio. I went back a week later. I said, yeah, it's a big hit. Oh, you mean Diana, not Italiano. And then for like almost 60 years, I met Polanka.
What was he like?
Oh, great. We were at the function and she was passing by and I said, that's him. And I was nervous. So she said, oh, you wanted always to meet him. Now you have a chance. So I said, hi, Paul. It's Giorgio Moroder. Oh, Giorgio, how nice to meet you. I just spoke about you the other day. I did a program for one of the shows and I was talking about your soundtrack. So he said, okay, and he was nervous, and I was nervous. So it was actually nice.
Can you remember the first gig that you went to, the first time you saw music live? Because that's a kind of different thing, isn't it?
Very little, because I came from or come from a very small town in Italy. Mm. Very small town. And I don't even remember. I think the first time I was over 20 when I saw a concert.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was about the studio, it was about recorded music.
Well, actually, I did, I become a so-called professional musician, not a great one.
I think you can say you're a professional musician
No,
now.
No, I'm not a good one, but at that time I used to play bass.
Yeah.
And, you know, bass, some wrong notes doesn't mean anything. So for like 10 years or 12 years, I played in a little group. I toured all Europe. And then finally, I decided that this is not something where I don't want to end up a musician in a nightclub at 60. So I I saved some money for like a year. I worked for a year, not spending any. And I saved money and I became a composer.
I was doing some research for this and I was listening to some of your first hits, your early hits. And I know that in the past you've said, oh, you know, they're kind of bubblegum. But they sound great. A lot of those singles, they've got a real texture to them, yeah, your early pop hits.
Yeah, there's one which I still love to hear. It's called Looky Looky.
Ah, yeah.
It has a good rhythm, a double. I did a ta-ta-ta, double it in tempo. And it was a really good recording. That was one of the better ones I did at that time. The rest was not great.
I think you're being a bit harsh.
No. If I listen to some of the songs, I say, oh, God, what did I do here?
When did you first hear Walter Carlos, Wendy Carlos? I mean, can you remember the first time you heard?
To Walter.
Yeah,
that was when his album Switch It On Bach came out.
It was used on Clockwork Orange, the film, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I heard it way before.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it says it was all played by a synthesizer. And I loved it. I had an acquaintance in Munich who is a classical composer, who showed it to me, but he made me listen to like 10 minutes of a bass line. And he was all happy, and I was happy too. But, you know, it looked like an eternity to hear that bass line. But I immediately knew that was an instrument which I would use as an instrument with all the incredible sounds and things you can do.
What was your first synthesizer? Was it a Moog?
There was only one, the big modular, right. Moog, which was a disaster to use. You needed to be a Harvard genius, you know, to know how to connect the cables.
Because it looks like a telephone exchange.
Yeah.
Enormous.
In fact, sometimes it was so full of cables that even the engineer didn't know which one was doing, which cable was doing what. So I had the first hit with a song called Son of My Father, mm-hmm. which was... There were two songs out with synthesizer, my song and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Lucky You, Lucky Day.
Ooh,
First rock song with a synthesizer and first pop.
That's pretty
then
cool.
Chick Corea did a cover, and they went to number one here. They were faster than me. in the rest of the world, my song did well. And that was the first one, first synthesizer.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
Listening to your first album, From Here to Eternity, which was 77, has a warmth to your music that I don't think lots of electronic music has. I mean, it's got a human feel to it.
Well, the first kind of song like that was I Feel Love.
Mm.
And that was really the prototype of having this really mathematical machine, hard, perfectly exact timing and everything. And then the voice of Donna Summer with a kind of ethereal love. Like it blended so well, the human voice and the machines. And then I did From Here to Eternity, and my voice was obviously very melodic anyway.
But there's, yeah, there's
I'm joking.
There's, no, you put yourself down too much. When you first met Donna, was it from straight away you just thought, this is someone who I think I can blend my music with her voice?
Pete Bellotti and I, we found Donna in Munich. She was left over of a musical, which I think it was Hair, where she sang in German, and we needed some singers without accent, like English or American singers, for a demo. And we said, look, if we ever have a song, we would call you. And then we had the idea of doing a song called The Hostage, which did okay, did well. And then finally I did Love to Love You, Baby.
It's become one of those songs I feel love. And I'm sure you talk about it whenever people speak to you, because it's a record that shifted the way people think about music.
Yeah, that was an experiment. I wanted to do an album with the sounds of the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and try out something futuristic song. So I watched a movie, Star Wars, and there's a scene in Star Wars called the Cantina, where you see the musician playing a so-called the future music. But it wasn't really future music. It looked like the look was futuristic, but not the music. So I thought to myself, I need something like totally mechanical. And the synthesizer, of course, is the machine. So I again asked a friend of mine who had a big modular to give me the computer and the technician. And without knowing anything what I would do, because there is no anything I could have listened, and this is what I wanted.
Doesn't sound like anything else.
Yeah, so I just said, how would I start? So I started with a bass line, and the bass line was kind of tricky because the synthesizer was totally out of tune every 10, 20 seconds.
Really?
Oh, they're like, you had to adjust it. So I kind of put in the computer of the synthesizer four notes, ding, dun, 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 and then tune them, record like 20 bars or 15 bars, stop, tune it again, and record again.
That's why it's human. That's why, because there's a performance.
Well, but
in there.
No, but it was triggered by a click. Then I created the white noise, and then you cut it, and you make a hi-hat, you make a kick, you make a snare, you make other stuff, and that's how it was created. And then the melody I composed it after, which is totally against the way I use. I used to play the chords and sing, but you cannot sing by adjusting the bass line in the synthesizer.
Singers don't like that if you tweak them.
And then Donna and Pete wrote the lyrics, and it came out. She just told me lately, I just went in the studio and I sang, love to love you, love. I feel love, I feel love, I feel love. It was kind of a fun thing to do, and it really worked well. We'll be right back.
It's interesting because you say, oh, I just made a hi-hat and I made a bass and a snare, but you're literally taking like almost like a sine wave, right, and then turning that.
Turning then, cut it up and make it sound like a hi-hat or duck, like a snare.
But that's a craft. That must take hours.
I had a great guy to help me out.
I think you're being humble again. I think you're being humble.
No, I'm okay, but that machine, that was a machine. If you didn't know how to connect the cables and wonder which oscillator would give you that sound, it would have taken me days. But the whole thing took 2-3 hours, the recording.
Wow.
And then the interesting thing is that the original, before I did the mix, was dung, 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 dung. And then when we mixed it, our engineer added a delay and suddenly it became the hit. Because of that delay.
It still slays the dance floor. It's still, when you hear it in a club, it sounds great still to this day.
Yeah, I think that the sound of the Moog, the big modular Moog was incredible. I don't think you can get that sound with anything else which you have now.
You're listening to The First Time with me, Matt Everett, and my guest this week, Giorgio Moroder. And of course, that track was I Feel Love by Giorgio and Donna Summer from 1977, a record that changed the sound of pop music forever.
This is Six Music.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
Welcome back. I'm Matt Everett, and this is the first time on Six Music, the series where we look at the key first moments in a musical artist's career. And my guest this week is one of the most influential music producers of all time, Mr. Giorgio Moroder. And that song you just heard was The Chase, taken from Giorgio's first ever film soundtrack, 1978's Midnight Express. Your first Academy Award, your first Oscar, was 1978 for Midnight Express. When did you first meet Alan Parker, the director? Because I was watching the film, I watched it this week, and the sound is so, right from the start of the movie, straight away.
Yeah.
In fact, the start of the movie's got very little dialogue. The sound is adding to the tension of the whole thing.
Well, that was interesting. Alan loved the song I Feel Love. Mm. And he told me, just get me a great driving sound for the scene at the beginning where he escapes. Mm. And give me something in the spirit or feel of I Feel Love, and I played The Chase. Dun, 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 dun. He loved it. At the beginning, I added some noise, which would go well with the noise of Istanbul at the time. And the rest, he said, you just do whatever you want.
He gave you total freedom?
Total. He loved the Chase, the song. He came to Munich. I recorded it in Munich, and we mixed it in one day, the whole thing.
That's amazingly quick.
It's not like 2-3 months now.
Sparks as well, because Sparks were a kind of conventional rock band. Then you worked with them, and then that changed their career completely, didn't it?
Yeah, that was that was an incredible production with the two guys.
What was it good about?
Oh, great guys. I remember I went into a kind of a funky studio in Los Angeles. it was more like a room, but then Wyman had all synthesizers, you can imagine. He had several Moog modulars, mini Moog. I think we did a lot of stuff before.
Pre-production.
Pre-production without the melody. Then Russell came in and sang the melody, or like we did it together. Mm. That was a combination of doing the tracks and then singing, or singing a little bit and then doing the tracks. As a DJ, I'm playing Beat the Clock. You gotta beat the clock, you gotta beat the clock. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
You worked with Bowie in 82. You did Cat People.
Paul Schrader had the idea. He wanted somebody with a voice and an image would fit the movie Cat People.
Perfect fit.
And David came out as by far our first choice. So I composed the song, I sent it to him, and he loved it. So we met at the Queen Studio in Montreux,
Casino. Yeah.
We met for dinner at the hotel, and he showed me the lyrics, which I loved, and then said, okay, let's start tomorrow, so with the recording. So I thought to myself, okay, it's probably around 4, 5, 6 o'clock. No, he said, let's start. I come here for breakfast, because he lived above somewhere next to Montreux. And we had breakfast, I guess at 10, at 11 o'clock we were in the studio, and it took him about 2 or 3 takes. I think it took an hour, maybe a little more than an hour, and was done. And so David said, okay, done. I said, none. and the director, Paul Schrader, was sitting there and said, wait a second. You cannot be done. No, because you only did 3 takes or 4. I do 10 takes on every scene. No, he said, we are professionals. He's a professional too.
We'll do it properly. We don't have to do it lots of times.
Right. And you know, with a singer like Bowie, why do it more than a few times? It's almost perfect the first time.
See these eyes so green. I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long, and I've been putting out fire. With gasoline. See these eyes so red, red like jungle burning bright. Those who feel me near, pull the blinds and change their minds. It's been so long.
in the later 80s and the early 90s, you kind of dipped out of sight a little bit. And I know you were sort of creating art and you were playing a lot of golf and you were...
Yeah, golf, a little later.
And sort of designing a sports car. Did you fall out of love with music? What happened?
I don't know. I got... first, my big love at that time were the movies. And I didn't have a manager. So the movies, I never had one, except I got one a few days ago.
What?
Thank God. So the movies, first of all, I did a terrible movie. Absolutely terrible. I cannot tell you.
You can't say what it is.
With a terrible music, everything was bad. And you know, Hollywood is a small town. The word goes out. I got some offers to do. I did one which I didn't really want to do, which was a good movie, but it was a comedy, and I'm not a great writer for comedies. So that phase faded away. I got tired. Then I started to do computer art, and I, for like a year and a half or 2 years, that's all the only thing I did. And then I spent much more time in Europe. So in between, I did, the Olympics in Seoul. Yeah. I did the song for the World Cup in Italy, Un'estate Italiana, which was a major hit, which I'm just remixing now for the 25 years. And I did some minor production, but then as you said, I built a car, which took me a long time. I did a short movie based on pictures, a story based on pictures, which took me about a year, but a year of work. I couldn't do anything else. And that was quite good, because now I know Photoshop in and out.
Yeah.
And I won an award, the best short movie on the festival of Palm Springs. So I did a lot of stuff.
When did you first get the call from Daft Punk? Because for so many people, I remember reading about the new Daft Punk album, which is obviously really exciting. And then there's rumors Giorgio Moroder is going to be on it. And everyone was like, what? They've met? Yeah. This is incredible. Yeah. I mean, because they're so secretive and they don't talk to the press a lot, very rarely. And it's been so wonderful to hear your voice on the record, because it's a very ambitious, it's quite a strange record, that. And it's right. A wonderful track. Did you enjoy working with them?
Yeah, I was in, at that time, about 2 years ago, I was in Los Angeles, and my agent said, why don't you have lunch with them and maybe you can work with them? So I had lunch with Thomas and Guimond. And they said, if one day we have an idea of a collaboration, we call you. So at that time, I was living in Paris, and Thomas called me and said, why don't you come to the studio and just tell the story of your life? So I said, okay. So I went to the studio, and it was fun. I just spoke. Every half an hour, he wanted to tell it again a little more precise or a little more detailed. And that's all. And then I didn't hear for like 6, 7, 8 months.
As long as that?
Oh, this was in summer last year. And then in February, I went back to the same studio to do a track with somebody. And the same engineer was there. And I said, so how is the song coming out? He said, really good. I said, oh, yeah, I guess so, but what is it? Oh, I cannot tell you.
So he couldn't even tell you?
No, he didn't. I mean, even he was secretive about me, so I didn't have a clue. So then they played the song in, I think it was in March in Los Angeles, under strict security. Oh, God, the guys are incredible. And then I was absolutely surprised. Absolutely, and kind of emotional too, because you hear yourself telling the story of your life.
Yeah.
And then the music, which went so well. And then to hear the album, they only played it on headphones. The music was on a laptop. I could do the volumes, and that's all. Nobody else than me. My wife, Francisca, was there. She couldn't listen, so... It was a great 72 minutes of wonderful music. Giorgio. Thank you.
once you free your mind about the concept of harmony and of music being correct, you can do whatever you want. So nobody told me what to do, and there was no preconception of what to do.
For so many producers and musicians, you've always been a hero and influence, but after Daft Punk, it's really opened you up to people that maybe don't know a lot about music history. Yeah. And you're now like, oh, he's back.
I am the same. I did I Feel Love, what, 30 years ago? I'm exactly like the same, a little older, but the same. So, like years ago, when I was not in the mouth of people like now, they would call me the father of EDM or the father of electronic. Then, like a year ago, they started to name me the grandfather of them. And then I became the granddaddy, right? And lately, a few weeks ago, they were calling me the badass of EDM. So it's nice because finally I got the recognition, which I don't think I should have had before. But, you know, I Feel Love at the beginning was just a good song, except when Eno presented the song to David Bowie and said, this is the song of the future. That was the first time I thought, wow, maybe I have something here. And I was really happy because it was kind of the sound of the future, right? But apart from that, yeah, the song did okay, did well, but it's just lately, in the last 10 years, that you hear it so often now. I mean, not the same song, but the feel of the rhythm. And so now I'm supposed to be the grandmother ever.
So what's next?
I'm preparing an album with myself, hopefully featuring some major acts. Because I don't want to sing. I may do one or two instrumentals. I found hopefully a new way to do the vocoder. So I may sing and use the vocoder, but basically do an album with the guest singers.
Who would you like to have on it?
Oh, everybody. Oh, Rihanna would be a great one. Lady Gaga. Miley Cyrus, maybe. Okay. Although the last song is really good. The other day I had it in my head. I couldn't sleep. The Wrecking Ball, it's a great melody. So those are kind of the girls I would like.
We should play a song to finish the interview.
Great.
What should we play? It can be anything. It can be one of yours. It can be something else. It can be something you heard this morning or a favourite from your youth.
Give me a suggestion.
I can't suggest a song to Giorgio Moroder.
No. Let's do the Wrecking Ball.
Okay, let's do
can
that.
Can we do that?
We can do
it's
that.
It's a great melody. I love it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you.
Oh,
Don't you ever say I just walked away. I will always want you. I came in like a wreck.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
This is a shorter version of a weekly new music playlist titled Handpicked by 6 Music, one of a big collection of music playlists you can now download and subscribe to in the BBC Sounds app. To find the full version, just search Handpicked and check out some of the other playlists tailored for whatever music you need or mood you're in.